John 3:16, talking about the love of God. And we're continuing. And I would add, you know, and just mentioning aside here, this book here, there was a couple of books, but this one in particular is a great little book, The New Kind of Love by E.W. Kenyon. Great book. If you haven't got it, get it. It's a great book to read. It'll feed your spirit. God so loved the world, not just Nanuet, Rockland County, or wherever you live. He loved the entire world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And John, let's go over to John 13:34. As you could say, these are our marching orders, our marching command here. 34 and 35 of John 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this love shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And when he says that you love even as, or as I have loved you, it just means even as, or in the same manner, is really what it means. In the same manner that he loved us, we're to love others. And I think the more we meditate on that, we go, well, how did he love us? We just got done reading John 3:16. When we didn't care about him or didn't want to know anything about him, he died for us. So we've looked at these scriptures in the past, and John. Let's go over to John, 1 John 4:7, just as a reminder. We can't love like God loved, or even as he loved, we can't love like he loves without his nature in us. And the scripture bears that out. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and what? Everyone that loveth like he loves, is what? Born of God, and not just born of God, but knoweth God. So that means that you've got to abide in him to know, and to continue to abide in him. And you know what's interesting? I'm going to touch on this a little bit this evening. But let me just read this scripture verse, 1 John 4:7, out of the Living Bible. It says, dear friends, let us practice loving each other, for love comes from God, and those who are loving and kind show that they are the children of God and that they are getting to know him better. I like that. We're getting to know him better as we do what? As we practice loving one another. And 1 John 3:14, it says, we know we've passed from death unto life. That means we've been delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. It means we're born again. We have his nature now. So that means we can love. It says what? We know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So we can love like God loved, like Jesus loved. We can love even as he loved because our nature's been changed, because now we have his ability in us. So this divine love is a love that is such that it doesn't have to be responded to, thanked, or acknowledged. Sometimes that's hard on the flesh, isn't it? Because we like to be acknowledged. We like to be thanked. You know, I know just even through the years, you know, on different corporate jobs, you know, people get their nose out of joint because they don't get thanked, right? That's the flesh. You didn't say thank you for my job. I did, right? When people get annoyed because you didn't thank them. I'm not saying it's a wrong thing to do, but what I am saying is that people get upset when they don't get thanked. And so this agape love extends itself and does things and doesn't look for a response. It doesn't look for a thank you. So if you're looking for a thank you, then you need to rethink that, because this says we're doing something. Not doesn't mean we shouldn't be thanked if we do something, but if you don't, if you get cursed or you say, what are you doing that for? Well, you just say, well, because I love you. What are you doing that for? You know how people do. You know, they may not like you. And so when it says, do good to those that what? Despitefully use you and hate you. You do good to them, right? So when you start doing good to people that don't like you, you may get that kind of, what are you doing that for? Get out of my face, you know? I don't like you. Well, you know, we're to love even with that kind of a response. And so we're not looking for a response. It's based on a decision to just do something good. Do something nice for somebody, regardless of the response we get. So it's unconditional love. There's no conditions. That means I don't have to get something to do something. I don't need a response to initiate the love. I don't have to wait for them to do something to love. I can just be impressed to do something for someone, and I'm just doing it because I'm impressed in my heart to do it. And we love because God so loved the world. No prerequisite. That means there's no conditions tied to this. That means if they never thank me, as long as I know that it was done with a pure heart and it was done right, and I wasn't looking to get something from somebody, I was just being loving towards them, then I don't need a response, do we? We don't need a response. I mean, when you think about a relationship, you know, people do things. I sometimes admire those that care for others. You know, whether it's, you know, a loved one. When I say a loved one, maybe a spouse, or it could be your mom or dad. It's people that care give. And so they do it out of what? Love. And they do it sometimes 24/7. They're there all the time. And they never get sometimes a response, do they? I'm not looking at anybody particular. I'm just saying that I saw my mom do it with her mom. I saw, you know, we had my grandmother in the house for a while. Now, I couldn't tend to it. I'm a male. But I had five sisters, so they got involved. They'd bathe her, clean her, feed her, do all of that, right? And then it got too much, and so they had to put her in a nursing home. But, you know, people get to the place, they don't necessarily say thank you, but you do it out of love. You do it out of concern for someone, right? Whether it's a loved one or it could be a friend. You do it. You don't do it just to get a, you don't do it to get a response. You do it because you love them. Amen. So that's what I'm saying. There's no prerequisite to that you do. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read this because I just do. I think it's good. The word will change us. I've read this, the last time I read this out of a different translation. We're used to reading it out of the King James. I think most times we're more familiar with hearing it read from the Amplified translation. I'm going to read this time from the J.B. Phillips translation. And it's more of a paraphrase, but it's good. It says, and this is just verse 4 through 8. It says, this love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. Wow, I just sometimes the way certain translations or paraphrase, I like this. It looks for a way of being constructive. It is not possessive. It is neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Love has good manners and does not pursue selfish advantage. It is not touchy. It does not keep an account of evil or gloat over the wickedness of other people. Love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. It is, in fact, the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. That's good. Amen. So, one thing, let's turn over to the Gospel of John. Let's go over there. John, and we're going to look at John 14. John 14. And let's look at verse 21. Want to look at this? I'm going to read it in the King James. It says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and," like what Deacon Shearer was going tonight, and another "and," it says, "and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." So here's an interesting, let me read this from the New Living and a few other translations. It'll add some clarity here. It says, "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." He will reveal himself. This is the Message translation. "The person who knows my commandments and keeps them, that's who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him," the one who loves me, "and make myself plain to him." This is the Amplified translation. It says, "The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show myself," and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. "I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him." Now this is the Passion translation. "Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. And I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you." Now that's a little different. He will manifest his life within you. Why? Because you love him, you keep his commandments. He said, "I will love you and the Father will love you, and I will manifest my life within you." Sometimes this is an interesting thing here. To the degree that we love is the degree that he begins to what? Reveal and manifest himself to us. And so sometimes we need to evaluate. I'm not saying or judging, but I'm saying I'm just looking at myself. How is he manifesting himself in and through me Is it to the degree that we love Him and keep His commandments? Keep that law of love. How is our love walk? How is our loving one another? He will manifest Himself to us or within us to the degree that we love. That's what He's saying. So He will unveil Himself where? First, He's going to unveil Himself in the most important place, in the Word of God. He will begin to reveal Himself through the Word of God to us as we keep His commandments. He's going to reveal Himself. So you're going to come to know Him more intimately. How? Through the Word. Through the Word of God. He's going to begin to reveal Himself. How? Revelation. He's going to begin to say things to us and begin to open up the Word. And we're going to go, wow! I never saw that before. You know how many we've all had wow moments. That wow, that revelation, He begins to do what? Open up Himself, His Word to us. Where? In here, in our spirits. The entrance of His Word giveth light. But and He's going to begin to unfold and reveal that as we walk in the love of God. You know, you think about this in the natural. Well, let's look at it this way. We all reveal ourselves to people, don't we? In a lot of ways, don't we? So if you're just a cursory friend, do you really reveal yourself? No, you don't. People that don't really, you know, flow with you, do you really reveal yourself to them? No, you go, hey, see ya. How you doing? See ya. You know how we do in church? Hey, how you doing? And you keep stepping out the door, right? Hey, how you doing? How's everything? I'm blessed. Hey, I'm blessed. But you're not really revealing yourself to them, are you? But people that you're close to, that you trust, that you love, you may open up to. Isn't that true? That's just a natural example. How much more God? He said, when you love Me and keep My commandments, I will love you, so will My Father, and I will manifest Myself. I will begin to reveal Myself to you. Why? Because you love Me. And you love Him not just because you say you love Him. You do something. You're doing something. That's the thing that, you know, I watch where this lady is concerned up in Pennsylvania. I watch how blessed they are, her family, her and her husband, and siblings, just blessed. I mean, she don't even have to work. I mean, she gets jobs. She works for a large corporation. And then she'll go away, you know, I mean, sometimes we won't see her. She was over in India for 5 or 6 months doing a job and then came back. And now she thinks she's up in Allentown doing something. And so she'll go on these jobs and she just is blessed. And I wonder, why is she blessed? She's blessed. And the other interesting thing when I watch, when we just share at a Bible study, she'll say some things about the Word of God that's revelatory. You understand what I mean by that? I'll sit there and go, man, you don't know how much revelation you really have. Because God is revealing things and enlightening her mind to see things in the Word of God because she loves people and is doing things. And so that's where it's something where we need to see is that He will reveal Himself to us as we walk deeper in the love of God. He'll begin to reveal us Himself more, primarily through the Word of God. That's where He's going to reveal Himself. And that's what we were just sharing in 1 John 4. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And that's what it says in the Living Bible. It says, those who are loving and kind show that they are the children of God and that they are getting to know Him better. How are you getting to know Him better? Because He's revealing Himself to you. He's manifesting Himself. That's what John 14 said. He's revealing Himself to you, and you're getting to know Him better. And that's what it says. So let's go back to 1 John 4. I want to look at this a little bit. 1 John 4. And starting in verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, right? He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is our love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us, sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. That's what I want you to look at there. It's perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Let me read this in the Phillips translation here, just verse 17 and 18. It says, so our love for Him grows more and more, filling us with complete confidence for the day when He shall judge all men. For we realize that our life in this world is actually His life lived in us. So His life is actually, it's this life that we have in this world, it's His life living through us to touch people. That's why that old covenant couldn't work. It was nothing but rules and regulations. And there was a punishment attached to the... If you missed something, there was a punishment attached to it. That's why it was called the law of sin and death. So this new commandment, this law of love, there is no punishment attached to it. He's given us His life, His nature, and His ability so we can love. Have we all reached that place of perfected love? Probably not. We've got this flesh to deal with. But the more you walk in love, it gets easier and easier and easier and easier to love. And love becomes perfected in us. And what does it do? It says perfect love does what? Casts out fear. So a lot of times, you know, when we think about this, the flesh, this human flesh that we live in, is mortal and it's selfish, isn't it? If you don't think so, just get hungry a little bit. I want to eat. Now, that's not me. I'm just saying, sometimes when people don't eat, they get what? Cranky. And they get itchy about, you know, I want to eat. Well, that's the flesh, right? Or if you don't get your way about something, right? Just don't get your way about something and see how loving you are. Let's just see how loving we are when we don't get our way about something. You know, we make fun of it, but it's true. When something doesn't go our way, when it just doesn't go our way, see how loving, say, oh, well, no problem. Well, sometimes it is a problem. The flesh is fighting, the flesh is talking, and we're like, you know what? I've had enough. And that is something that we're always struggling with, and it's going to have to be that we've got to say, you know what? I put that thought down, shut up, I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to yield to the flesh. And so that's something we have to decide, and we're all working at this. We're all growing in this. But we have the ability because God's in us. And so this flesh, really, when we talk about it being selfish, think about this. There's self-preservation in that. When you fear about something, what's involved? Self-preservation. So if you fear about giving money into God's work, you're like, oh, I can't do that. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? If I give that, how's that going to work? That's self-preservation. Because if God told you to do it, if He directed you to do it, don't you think He's capable of replacing that and multiplying it? So what are you fearing? If God truly told you to do it, then what are you fearing? Why are you feeling that you have to hold on to something that He directed you to do? Or it could be just helping somebody. You know, it's your time or your effort. You know, what am I going to do about that? If I take this day off and do this, I might be tired after that. You know how people think? If I go to that service, I go to two services a day, man, I could be tired tonight. What am I going to do? I'm just telling you, this is how people think. If I'm going to go to service tonight, what about work tomorrow? I'll be tired. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So, you know how we think? That's the flesh that tries to get involved. There's self-preservation. There's fear sometimes when decisions have to be made. But perfect love casts out fear. He said, he that loveth me and keepeth my commandments, he said, does what? I will love him, my Father will love him, and I will what? Manifest my life in you. So sometimes we need to assess and take some assessment of things that we're doing. This is the Passion Translation. It says, by living in God, see, we've got to live in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment. Because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. Love never brings fear. I like that. Love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. Fear is related to punishment. But love's perfection drives the fear of punishment far from our hearts. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection. Isn't that interesting? That's an interesting way of putting that. That when we walk with fear of punishment, could be shame, could be something someone did, but when you walk with fear of punishment, it says here that you've not reached love's perfection. Perfect love casts out fear. What does it also say? Let me read this scripture and just come to mind in Romans chapter 8. For there is what? No condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That means if you're walking after the flesh, there can be condemnation and the fear of punishment. But if you're walking in God and you walk in the Spirit, perfect love will cast out fear. Or it could be, you know, we say the fear of punishment, it could be the fear of what somebody thinks. That could be hard on somebody. You know, I wonder what they think about this choice I'm going to make. The fear of that. Perfect love will cast that out. I know God told me to do this. I'm not afraid of this choice. You know, I had to think about that. I made those choices when I came to work in the ministry here 30-some years ago. I had a good job, and I had to make a choice at that point. I was comfortable. You know what I mean? I put some money in the bank. I saved money. I put it in the bank. I had a savings account. I was still young. I was single, and I didn't have things to think about per se, but when God prompted my heart to quit and come work here in the ministry, I'd known it 3 years prior. I knew it 3 years prior. But it got to that place, it was now. You got to make that choice now. And so when I came here, Pastor Saron Clinton never said, this is how much you're going to make. They said nothing. And I didn't say to them, I want X. I didn't do that because God told me to come work here. So I knew that, first of all, it didn't matter how much they said. It really didn't. In my mind, now my mind wrestled with it because I'm thinking, oh God, what am I going to do? I only got X amount in the bank. I can, you know, your mind goes through this. Eh, I can live on that. Whatever it is, I can live on that. And I budget, so I could live on that. That's not faith. But I trusted God, and I said, okay, it doesn't matter. I never asked them how much. I just said, I'm coming. And actually, the way it went down is 3 years to the month when I knew. This was in 19... When I came to work in the ministry here, it was actually 1985. So that's 33 years ago. And so when I came, 3 years prior to that, Pastor Clinton walked up to me and he said, it's actually in 84. I knew in 81. He approached me in 84. And he said, this is the way he said it to me. He said, myself and Sarah see you working in the ministry here. And I said, when he said it, I said to myself, I know it. I knew it. And I said, well, you know how we do. Well, I'll pray about it and let you know. That's a good church answer, right? I'll pray about it and let you know. I already knew when he approached me. I knew it. And I was like, okay, I got to do this. But it really didn't matter. I went and saw them, but I never asked them how much. And when they told me, whew, it's a good thing I didn't know. Because I'd have probably, you know, I don't know what I would have done. That's why it's better sometimes not to ask. Just do what God told you to do. He'll take care of you, and that's that. But I think sometimes when you make that choice, you know, he's going to watch you for a while. Because that's what happened. He didn't say anything. I worked here for, I don't know, a year or two, I think, before I ran out of money. I think it was a couple years. Driving back and forth, had a car, had a small house I had to pay rent on, and doing all of that. And so I ran out of money. And now it's like, okay, what are we doing now? You go back to the one that gave you the assignment. I said, okay, God, what you going to do? I said, I believe some money. And I heard this in my spirit. I said, start believing me for an extra $100 a week. He didn't tell me $1,000 a week. He told me $100. And within 1 week, they called me in the office and said, we're going to give you a raise. And it was almost that $100 a week. And prior to that, they had just given me a raise. And then they gave me another raise. And so you just have to obey God. That's the point. Perfect love casts out fear. I knew the direction I was given. I knew I had to come work here. I had to put the fear of how much, all of that, I just had to do it and obey. And that's what we have to do sometimes. The fear of whatever it is. This, you know, I don't know, you know, whatever it is that rattles your flesh and mind, whatever that is, you just got to know, did God tell me to do this? If he did, shut up. Just shut up. I'm doing this. And take a step of faith. Because love cannot fail. And if God's directing you to do this thing, then he'll see it through. He'll support you in that endeavor, whatever that is, right? So this love that we have cannot fail. So Romans 13, let me just share this as we close here. Romans 13, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love, or this is the New Living, love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. It fulfills that. So this new covenant, there's only one law, there's only one command, and one word. What's that one word? Love. L-O-V-E. That's the command and one word. We're to love one another. And so now this law is to govern every phase of our life. Every facet of our life is to be governed by the love of God. Our thinking, our actions. And so now, because we have God's love in us, it enables this, enables us to do it. So we can love. And as much as I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to me. This fits on me too. I have to love like he loved. And that's what this is saying. We're born of God. And think about the scripture in 1 John 4:4. It says here, ye are of God, little children, and what? Greater is he. What is the he? The love of God. Greater is he, love in us, than he, hate, that's in the world. Greater is this love in us than he that's in the world and all of its forms of junk and stuff. The love of God in us is greater than the things that we confront in this earth. And the things that we confront that try to come up in this flesh of ours. Greater is the love of God in us. Isn't that good news? I think it's good news. Hallelujah. So we're born of God. We're born of love. And this love needs to be perfected. How is it perfected? By keeping his commandments. And as we do that, it said, he will love us. The Father will love us. And he will manifest himself. And that one scripture in the Passion, it says, he will manifest his life within us. Boy, that's something. He will manifest his life in us as we love. So I tell you, I remember this, as many times as Brother Hagin when he was coming to this church, nine times, I don't remember the exact count. I know it was more than five. It was at least seven or eight or nine times. The last few times he came, all he talked about, as much as everybody said he was the father of faith and he taught faith, yes, he did. But his latter years, all he spoke on was the love of God. He came here and taught. That's what he taught on, the love of God, the last few times he came. So faith works by love. It works by love. That's what's exciting to me, that if your faith is growing, your love has to be growing. And if your faith isn't growing, then maybe you need to look back and see, is my love growing? Is it being perfected? Am I acting upon it? Because think about it. Isn't that what it says here when we were reading this scripture in 1 John? It says that we have confidence in the day of judgment. Well, how do we do that? I said that when I see the word confidence, that to me is talking about faith. If you have confidence, you have faith. And so if your faith is growing, your love is growing. Or this faith is being developed, so is your love. Isn't that good? I think it's good. So as we go this week, let's think about the love of God. I hope everybody's doing all right with reading 1 Corinthians 13 every day. Reading at least once a day. Meditate on it. Let it minister to you. In the name of Jesus.